Meeting is now being recorded.
Thank you, voicemail lady. This is Mike Sessa with the GeoCode User Group. Today is Friday, November 30th. It is 1 p.m. Eastern. We're having the call. And I'm going to do a quick roll call to make sure I have everyone. So I heard Victor from Ohio State, Dave Landry, Clearinghouse, Lois and Brian from UAC, Jim Kelly and Margaret from ECE.
Joining the meeting.
Gary Hamilton, Stanford University.
Hi, Gary. How are you?
Good, Mike. How are you?
Wonderful. Thanks for joining. I was just doing a quick roll call, so you are in perfect time. So we have Emily from OCAD, and we have a strong Canadian contingency this morning. We have Brandon Hines from Workday.
Joining the meeting.
Ann Valentine.
We have Ann Valentine from Degree Data. Ann, just in time. I was just doing roll call. We have Rick Scale from Eleusian, Ian Kinnan from Education Planner BC, and was it Sunisa from University of Toronto? I apologize if I didn't catch the first name.
It's Fahim representing University of Toronto. I'm filling
okay,
in for Sunisa.
Okay, welcome. Wonderful. I wanted to make sure I had you accurately. Did I miss anyone?
Joining the meeting.
Apparently.
Hi, who just joined?
Ann.
And again.
Hi.
Hi. Welcome. Okay, so for folks, we have a good group. We have a number of the Canadian folks on. As you know, we had a great Canadian pest user group meeting the week right before Thanksgiving, and I did an overview of GeoCode, although they've been heavily involved since the start. I'm sure there's lots of questions. Jim and Matt are our co-chairs. Matt cannot be on the call today. Melanie is also on the steering committee. She can't be on the call. Melanie with ACRO, and she's been so helpful. Jim did pass over a couple of agenda items that we wanted to get to, specifically testing, then the discussion of Diploma Mill, and then some topics around documentation we might have for the system or for the directory. Should we do a first round robin, Jim, in case there are any updates or open it up for any questions folks might have. I can also point you to the PESC website. We have a Q&A on the PESC website. We have some of the guiding principles. We have the steering committee list. You can view the Google Docs spreadsheet, which is the birth of GeoCode, and that's in production right now at University of Southern California, processing thousands of records. As part of the upgrade to GeoCode, ECE has been working on software and a directory to eventually replace the Google Docs so that we have an automated real-time process. So I want to make sure folks are aware of the resources on the PESC website. We have a listserv, and we have our conference calls every 2 weeks. So 2 weeks from today, we'll be doing the same thing. So, Jim, I just went through a lot there. Where do you think you want to spend some time right now?
If anybody has any questions or any anything that they'd like to add to the agenda, I think now would be a great time.
Okay.
Sure,
and I know we have a number of new folks, whether it be Victor or Gary or Lois. So if you folks have questions, feel free to ask. If you want to email questions, but you know, GeoCode is you can tell is a community-based project. To assign a unique code to institutions. There was a joke we had at CanPesc. You know, there are 14 codes, and now with GeoCode there were 15 codes. But at one point we really want to stop the creation of these sort of siloed codes. Is it the code to end all codes? We hope so. One of the things that we're trying to do is make sure that as countries come on board, we're talking about countries sort of monitoring and governing their own codes within GeoCode. That, to me, it sounds like a very sustainable plan, because part of the problem with the older codes, whether it be the FICE code, which stopped being issued in the 70s, is the organization that owned it stopped doing it. So How does something remain sustainable? Well, I think if you empower organizations to continue it and the ones that find value in it, that's probably one of the most self-sustaining methods to use for any ongoing project. So there's lots of moving parts here, but when you boil it all down, we're trying to get down to a simple single code, an intelligent code. You can read up on it again. It's 7 digits. It's a 2-digit ISO country code followed by a 5-digit code. They're assigned. They're unique. The directory will automatically assign codes as we get forward, as we move forward. But like anything and like any software, we want to make sure the features are very user-friendly and that it's very self-intuitive and that you can access it and you can do lookup. To get to that point, we're going to need to do some testing. So, you know, Jim is looking for folks to help do some testing. You can create a user account on geocode.test.org. You can do search. One thing I want to make sure that we all understand, because there was a little bit of discussion about, you know, when do we, you know, do the big ta-da announcement, because we are getting to the point where the directory could be ready. While the functionality is ready and it might look smooth, one of the things that folks will want to know is how populated is the directory? Do you have every country in there? Because that adds to the value. So if you're looking for something and the directory is half filled, you might question the value and the accuracy and even the authenticity of the tool that you're using. So that's one of the conundrums we're dealing with is we want to populate the geocode, which is with as many countries as possible. So people, when they click, they go, oh, wow, look, not every country, but most of them, as opposed to, okay, right now we have 14, 15, 16, 17 countries. At what point do you reach that level of expectation where folks will accept it, even if it's not 100% populated?
Critical.
So, again, lots of moving parts, but lots of good momentum. We have such good community participation. The steering committee is very active. Folks are, as I said, already using it in production, and there's high interest from all over the world. And the most interest, I think, has been so far in Canada and the United States. But folks from Europe are on our list, and folks from Australia are now starting to look at what we're doing. So, again, if you have any questions, please, this is a community-based, initiative. It's important that we understand, you know, people's understandings and expectations of it, so all your questions are important. So, Jim, that was a very long ramp-up to, I think, one of the things you wanted to get to, which was some of the testing stuff, which is really high priority. And then we can segue to a nice discussion about diploma mills, and I can step back in and do a ramp-up for the diploma mill discussion.
Yeah, that sounds great. I'll give an overview of where we are with, and unfortunately Matt's not here because he's been involved in that testing, but I'll give you an overview. Really what we were trying to get to was minimum viable product, trying to get the functionality of the website, if we want to call it that, to the point where it can generate geocodes, people can find geocodes, country data can be imported, country data can be exported. We were at the point where what we really need to test is the import of data. And I've been working with Matt, you know, back and forth. We have been able to successfully uploaded numerous countries successfully. Data looks good. The geocodes are being faithfully created. I'm getting very close to saying that certainly from the import perspective, the testing is complete. There were a couple of issues that we ran into with the data that was sent, but there's, you know, when we do this testing, we're really testing two things. One is the quality of the data and or the layout of the spreadsheet that we're importing, and the other is the import process itself. And so we've had some issues with there were some blank lines in the data and some, you know, some things that were missed in quality really before it got loaded, which I don't really think are relevant in terms of whether or not the system's doing what it's supposed to do. And at this point, I can, I guess my position is that it is doing what it's supposed to do. So really, we just need to, and this is going to be up to the steering committee to decide, but come to a conclusion that testing is complete or there's more testing to do, and get that testing done, and then make the decision to move from the spreadsheet being production to the database or the website being production. But I like to think we're very close to that. So I guess that's the testing update. I could list, there's a bunch of countries that got loaded. They were, the latest round has all been South American countries. I don't know if that's of direct interest, but I'll read them off anyway because, you know, just in case anybody's curious. We had previously loaded Bolivia and Chile. We've loaded Ecuador, Guyana, Paraguay, Peru, Suriname. I hope I pronounced that correctly. And Uruguay and Venezuela. So those got loaded just this week in the test system. And to be clear, there are actually two systems running. One is the one Michael mentioned, which is geocode.pest.
Joining the meeting.
That is the production site, and geocode.ece.org, which is the test site. And the work that we've been doing is actually in the test site, that geocode.ece.org. I'm sorry, who joined?
Hi, this is Raga from OCAS.
Welcome.
Welcome. Thanks.
So Jim, if I might, I'm sorry, go ahead.
Yeah, go ahead.
I was gonna say, do you need, this might sound like a stupid question, do you need help testing? Or are you limiting a testing, you know, should we do a call for folks on this call that might help with testing?
I think that there's, you know, it's really, what are we trying to achieve? And the first thing we were trying to achieve was minimum viable product, which is can we load data? Can we search for data? We had a list of features. There are a number of features in the system related to administration and other things that should be tested more thoroughly. But I don't know that is part of the minimum viable product goal, meaning that we can go into production even if there's quirks in that side of it. So my opinion is, yes, we should get people, objective third parties to do testing. The testing, I think, needs to be done on the administrative side. So these would be people acting as administrators to do testing. And yes, we could do that at any time. But problems or bugs that might be found in that testing don't necessarily need to be fixed before we call it minimum viable product, if that makes sense. So if now's a good time to make that call for testing, I think that's fine. I just want to be clear about what we're testing and towards what end.
Sure. And so if anybody on this call is interested in helping out with testing, you know, more details can be provided, and anybody listening to this recording can email me, Jim, or Matt, and we can get you rolling on that.
I have a question, and this is Victor Mora from Ohio State. I am wondering, and I came to this group actually for curiosity more than anything else, because I'm more interested in the marketing application of the geographic component for recruitment of students. So having these geocodes would provide us the capabilities of visualizing in an international environment and different locations. In this case, I'm looking universities. Is it possible that are you looking into geocoding perhaps high schools or things like that by any chance?
I can feel that. I'm not sure I completely understand your use case, but I can tell you what the goal of the system is and what we're looking at in terms of data. This is really put together to foster electronic communication. So we need to be able to identify institutions uniquely as we start to trade data. We did start by focusing on higher education. We've called it post-secondary, we are planning on loading high schools in both the U.S. and Canada. I think the Canadian high school data is still being compiled, but we have the U.S. high school data. It was just a matter of making sure the database is ready. One of the recent changes we made to prepare for that data was to set all of the existing set the category for all existing data to post-secondary, and as high school data comes in, it will all be tagged secondary.
That would be great because, you know, we are trying to really have some strategies to really focus our efforts in some international markets, and there are certain types of high schools that we have identified to be, you know, for where we will go to build relationships, and we would like to have some ways of displaying that information in a map and over time being able to really do some analysis.
Right, and it's just going to be a matter of how quickly we get data from all over the world. For example, high school data from the rest of the world, I don't know when that will be loaded.
Okay.
I do know about the U.S. and Canada. Those are efforts that are underway.
And Victor, this is Michael. I'll answer him in a different way because it's a good question, but it's sort of a lengthy answer to a short question. Is the group originally started as single institution identifier, but in early discussions, like in many discussions, we had the conversation about learning and where does learning happen? Is it always at a brick and mortar college and university? What about high schools? What about other organizations that provide training and education? So, you know, training can be considered education. So we decided that the first phase would be that we would rename it GeoCode. So it's Global Education Organization Code. So we do envision having all organizations that do any type of learning in education. Phase one, though, was to focus specifically on colleges and universities because the scope creep would get, phenomenal. So phase one was colleges and universities. Phase two will be looking at the high schools and then other education organizations. For instance, the one I always give, a Microsoft certificate. Is Microsoft a college or a university? No, but learning happened at a program and a certificate was given and if that certificate can be verified in the community, then that place where the learning happened has a code and we should capture that code. That's sort of the history.
I understand better. Thank you for explaining that. Yeah. I was looking at the geocode more from another perspective, but now that you said it's Global Education Organization Code, that really puts things in a different perspective for me. Thank you.
Yeah. It's again, like everything else, geocode is a very simple concept. However, as it as you start to envision how it might be implemented, we need to figure out, okay, with this it happens this way, with that it happens that way. Step one is going to be colleges and universities. Step two will be the next things, you know, with the biggest step getting, so for instance, we had 100,000 high schools in the United States. It will crash the Google sheet. So
yeah.
The question then came, how much investment do we put in Google versus what ECE is providing for the directory? And so we've been straddling a tightrope here with trying to figure out the best road forward.
Okay.
Yep. Any other questions, Jim? Or did anybody have anything for Jim or testing? So if folks have are interested and want to, you know, roll up your sleeves and dig a little bit more into geocode, you're welcome.
And also, Brian, thank you very much for the testing you've done. That was very helpful.
Yes.
Welcome.
And, Jim, should I quickly segue to the diploma mills?
Hey, by all means.
Okay. So quickly on the diploma mills, this has been an ongoing conversation. But, again, it's community-based, so if we want to talk about something, we talk about it. But the original question came up with diploma mills. It's a problem in the community. We're all dealing with diploma mills. I don't think PESC can solve the problem. I don't think anyone has the answer yet. But the question then became, how do we handle diploma mills? And so we started going down a path of, well, this is not a database of accredited organizations. There are many organizations doing accreditation. This is more about data exchange. If you have an endpoint that is either sending or receiving data to you, you need a code for them. And because everything is more global now, we might not be as familiar with organizations, whether they be from South Africa or Australia or from the United States, whether it be Wyoming or, I would say, Joe's Lumberjack College. You know, people in Belarus might not know if that's a real organization or a real institution. We know a lot about diploma mills, and you can Google diploma mills and see if an organization is rumored to be a diploma mill. And that's why we use the term known. The GeoCode database contains colleges and universities by country that are known. We are not saying any legal status about them. We are not saying that they are accredited. The question then became, if you know, can't prove it, and we don't want to legally state that something is a diploma mill to assume any risk or liability, the question is, if you know about a diploma mill, what should you do? Should we not say anything in the GeoCode database? Should we say something? And if we do, again, what do we say? The question became a little conflicted when we look at our guiding principles, which one guiding principle says, we are not making a judgment about any institution. It is just an organization. It is simply about known organizations. But then a few down further, it says diploma mills, we're making a judgment. We'll put it as other and put an explanation that it might be questionable. So we have two guiding principles that might seem to be in conflict with each other. And like the rest of the community, this is not going to be the last discussion about diploma mills, but this was brought up last time, and Jim mentioned that Margaret has a lot of experience with diploma mills, and so we wanted to schedule it for a discussion. And anybody else that has experience, please, the question becomes, what do we do about diploma mills? We thought we had the right answer. We're opening it up again, and with that, Margaret, hopefully I've ramped you up a little bit, and then we can do a little Q&A if folks want to chime in as well.
Yeah, thank you, Mike. The ECE is a credential evaluation service, and so we often encounter diploma mills or sometimes institutions that have unknown levels of recognition. And the whole question of what is a diploma mill or what is a bad player is one that I think is filled with shades of gray. And so if the, I believe that this comes down to the description of what geocode is. And if geocode is a list of institutions that might send documentation claiming to be educational, then geocode is not well served by identifying an institution as a diploma mill or questionable. There are simply too many variations and possibilities that would call into question the whole business of making that judgment. I'm dealing right now with one of my research evaluators of a case of a medical school in the Turks and Caicos, and it's a very Byzantine discussion about recognition of this institution by the government of that very small country in the Caribbean. And it isn't entirely clear. Is this a diploma mill? Is it recognized? Is it not? And if we have an indication that someone is a diploma mill or a bad player, that kind of begs the question, who is making that judgment? When is the judgment made? Because an institution can move from an unrecognized to a recognized status. And so I feel that the designation seems to go outside of the scope of what geocode is doing. And there will be people who are, I'll bet you, are on the edge of your seat saying, That's crazy. How can you list a bad player in the geocode list? What are your questions about that? What are your arguments against that?
Margaret, this is Rick. And I, as we first started this project, and Jim and others will verify this, I was one of the stronger proponents for listing diploma mills of some sort. I, over time, have come to agree that it's really difficult to document or verify a bad player. I think that's a really good term. And it's really incumbent upon the receiving institution to make that determination. So we may not all agree. The one exception I would recommend and suggest is if there's a formal finding in the courts somewhere, particularly the U.S., because there are a few, where an institution has been formally defined as a diploma mill that has defrauded people, and we know that, I think we would be remiss to not note that. Any other supposition or guess or thought or feeling should not be included. But if we have a formal declaration about an institution or a supposed institution, I think we should include that. Other than that, I completely agree with you.
Mm-hmm. I'm going to sound a little bit like an apologist for diploma mills, which by all means I'm not. But I guess quite the opposite is, first of all, I don't know that there has been any legal definition of this category in the United States or anywhere else. An entity that has defrauded, that's one thing, but I don't believe that there's a definition of it. And I guess the flip side of this and why I wouldn't want to go down that road is because there are, for every one that has been caught and prosecuted, there are 250 who have not. And if we say this has been identified as a diploma mill, this has gone through the courts in the country in which it operates, and that's a whole other problem because many of these don't operate in countries that are ever going to touch this. By definition, then, everything else on the list is going to be viewed by some people as okay. Well, it didn't get the star that said it's been caught. That means that everything else that isn't starred with that diploma mill moniker is going to be considered recognized. And that's the danger of doing what you're suggesting.
I appreciate the comment. First of all, the FBI has formally prosecuted schools. There's an excellent book out, and I forget the guy's name, that was with the FBI, who's done presentations at ACRO a number of times about diploma mills. So there is a definition, there is active work that's been done. So there is somewhat of a basis. I completely agree that in many countries they'd never even think about it or touch it. I think you could make the same argument that if no school is flagged, there's an assumption, there can be an assumption, but all those schools are valid. The fact that we flag schools that have been formally defined and prosecuted as diploma mills is just that. But this school is a diploma mill. We know that. So that's my only suggestion. I'm not going to throw a fit or have a heart attack if we don't. But that would be my one suggestion.
I'll just point out that if we start categorizing institutions, then, and even if, you know, even if there has been a successful legal case against it, there, I believe that this is going to be a road that institutions go down and say, well, will you please list that I'm accredited by North Central? Will you please list that I have Ministry of Education recognition? And so I guess that, you know, my preference is buyer beware if we say in big red letters at the top, listing here does not imply that this institution is recognized. The more we muddy the water, the less strong the responsibility is going to be on the reader, because they're going to say, I'm going to rely on the footnote that says this is not this has been a institution that had a successful prosecution.
Hi, this is Anne. Can you hear me?
Yes.
I can hear you well.
What about a non-data-based approach to simply educating the reader about what's a diploma mill and what's not? There are, I just quickly looked online, and there's some little article that's 10 ways to spot a diploma mill. And we're certainly, Magritte, you could certainly write something like that and not actually tag the institutions we suspect or know to be diploma mills. But it, at least even as a transitional solution, supply some kind of information to the reader so that they can better spot a diploma mill. And I'm going to go back on mute now.
I think it would be a great idea to have references as part of this. And I know which publication that you were talking about. Was it Rick? Which is an excellent one. People should be aware of those kinds of things, and that would be great.
Let me jump in and see if any of the folks, whether it be Brian or Lois or Ian or anybody from the Canadian contingency, any thoughts on this topic? for this discussion?
Hi, it's Lois. Brian and I are here, and we're sharing the same opinion that Margaret is in our opinion, making a lot of sense. We believe in the non-judgmental approach to the geocode. Again, a slippery slope, and just opening up if we do start identifying various types of institutions as such and such, it would create a slippery slope, and there'd be no end to it.
And to take that a little bit further, you have to, I think, consider the point when the administration of countries has been rolled out to the country that is actually the ownership of that data, and is everybody looking at it in the same way? It would be nice if people are pushing to be able to have something that makes it easy for people to say, oh, this is a diploma mill, I can actually discard it, but do you know that the person that has designated that is actually an authority to be able to say that or not? Is going to be in question around the world possibly forever as the list goes forward if you're relying on somebody else to make that judgment call.
Just on that note, in Canada, there is actually a process with the registrars when a school is potentially suspect. It's very internal, very purposely. But basically, there's a listserv that we use to keep track of and inquire into the validity of any one institution. I don't think in Canada we would ever go to a list of what is and what's not, because they change so rapidly and new ones come up so quickly. You wouldn't be able to, at this point in time, I don't think you would be able to keep a list up to date quick enough to make it relevant.
Victor or Gary, as new folks, I don't mean to put you on the spot, but you know, everybody's opinion matters here. If you have anything as new to the conversation, that sometimes is very helpful too.
Thank you,
Gary.
Sorry, go ahead.
I don't have anything. I'm just kind of taking this in since this is kind of the first time. Being involved with the conversation. So.
Same here.
This is Fahim from the University of Toronto, and I agree. We are really dependent on the listservs that we get from the different schools that we share information with. I think it is a little bit of a slippery slope to try to identify those, because they do change so fast. We have massive lists that we're maintaining and changing, and the schools change names, so I think it's really difficult to do that.
Yeah, it's Ian here from Education.
Leaving the meeting.
A couple of points. It's been mentioned here already.
Leaving the meeting.
The geocode
and Valentine.
If the geocode is asserting, the bad players in some way, there might be a misinterpretation that the ones that are not flagged in that manner are, good players. So, I think that's kind of part of the slippery slope that's mentioned a few times here. And, when I started looking seriously into the geocode, Matt and I had a good conversation about it, and he kind of was very firm in pointing out that, this code is strictly intended to be an identifier and, not be a database that captures a whole lot of other information about the organization. So, I'm kind of liking the idea that, if there's some stuff in the, guiding principles that makes mention of, the geocode doesn't make any assertion of, validity or, good player status, in the guiding principles, it might make some sense to add in there some information about how to actually, verify for yourself.
This is Margaret again. The Diploma Mill is a really important discussion, but I believe perhaps just as important and just as critical to institutions that are trying to verify that the quality of another institution is the type of recognition that it receives. And there are plenty of players out there who are providing education that may be completely legitimate and suitable for the purpose that it is operating, but still might not meet the needs of the accepting institution. And so you can have vocational programs, you know, the truck driver's school, the vocational and technical types of institutions. And so it's just as important that people recognize not only really bad players, Diploma Mills, but what about the different types and categories of institutions, the different types of recognition and the different types of what is the word I'm looking for? Accreditation that different types of organizations receive. That's just as important for people to understand how to figure that out. And that could be additional guidance, references to how do you figure out whether this is approved by the Ministry of Education, or in this country, is there a vocational technical accreditation board that has value in a different way but might not be suitable for an academic institution's transfer credit. Those are at the core of assessing the quality of an institution beyond just that it's legitimate or not. And all of that is beyond the just that all of those are beyond the scope of what GeoCode is trying to do, as far as I can tell.
Right, the whole concept of instructing the visitor on how to recognize an institution, that in itself might be outside the scope. But I think maybe we provide links to those things or as a good citizen to give people access to that information. Mm-hmm. I would like to bring up one other thing and how this is likely to work. Someone mentioned just a second ago about the fact that these change all the time. The way this is likely to happen is that it will come in as a suggestion. And then it will be up to the PESC administrators to who are accepting or rejecting that suggestion to say, should we add this institution? If we go to recognize lists and can't find that institution, do we simply reject that institution even though it, and that may be because it's a Diploma Mill. So I guess my point is that this is going to come down to a couple of PESC administrators to determine how to add these things or whether they should be added or not.
Right. And Jim, this is Michael, and while the administrators will handle it, they have to follow the guiding principles. And the guiding principles would stipulate what to do with that information if it comes in. Do you do anything with it or do you just discard it? And something Market said to me, said really resonated with me, and I hadn't thought about it before, is, and this is a can of worms. Can you half open the can of worms? In other words, Market, what you made me realize is people's expectations. If people come to the GeoCode directory and see, even say something is in litigation or has been proven, we've introduced the idea of Diploma Mills, so now they're going to say, well, they have Diploma Mills listed. What about ones in process? What about ones that are coming out? Why don't I see an indicator for that? It begs the question of, once you go down that road, do you have to go down the entire road? In other words, you've indicated something as a diploma mill. Now, what if it comes off? You have to go in and update it. If something is indicated, you also have the expectation, therefore, that everything else on the list is okay. And that's what really struck me, is you're creating the a perception that if a few things might be indicated as bad players, therefore, the rest on the list are okay. And that could be as dangerous if the list is always changing. So for me, I've gone back and forth in this discussion. And as PESC is not a user, you know, of the geocode, you all are. You're all providing awesome services to students in colleges and universities. And so how you use this is really important. The expectation of it is really important. And, you know, are we able to mention a little bit about diploma mills, but then you open up the whole topic and the whole conversation, and now everybody's going to wonder, well, is everything in process? What about things that have come off? You know, it creates a can of worms that we've got to figure out. So to me, I'm trying to boil it down as either we indicate, you know, as we have been, or we don't indicate anything at all. It's an endpoint, and that's all geocode was scoped out to do.
If I can just add two things to elaborate on that, Mike. One is I can give you a real life example of what will happen if we footnote any of the institutions as that there was legal action, successful legal action against them or others. And that is the one organization that I was just referencing in the Caribbean, a medical school. And if we had such a list and it had any institutions footnoted as having a successful legal action, the owner of this school would say, and he doesn't have any legal action against him now, although some of the people who work for him have had, he would say, I'm on the geocode list. That means I'm okay. And no matter how much we would say, no, that's not what we mean, he would say, you've listed these three institutions as having legal action against them successfully. That means I'm okay. And he would argue that and use that to try to force other entities to recognize his institution. On the other hand, if we footnoted his institution, he would go after us, would go after geocode, would go after PESC, and would sue. And so that's the kind of that's the second point that I don't like to run my business and my life worrying about someone threatening lawsuits, but you can absolutely bet that if there was any indication, even if it was something that was proven in a court of law or was passed, you know, was accepted in a court of law, it still would end up being a lawsuit or a potential lawsuit. People who run these kinds of organizations are so litigious.
I have just one comment. I agree. I think that's a really good point, and I think that probably tips, certainly for me and probably for everybody else, the balance towards not saying anything. I would just caution that if we think that by not making any comment, and making a strong comment or a general comment up front that we're not implying anything, that would prevent one of these schools from saying, well, I'm on the geocode list, that means I'm valid, then we're fooling ourselves.
But it will provide protection for someone who then says, I'm not going to recognize your institution. And they say, but I'm on the geocode list. And then we say, look in big red letters at the top. It says
I agree with that. Yeah. I completely agree with that. I think that makes sense. But, I mean, we've been talking about it, it implies things. Our creating a list for some people, right or wrong, will imply validity. No matter what we say up front, there will be people who look at that as a maintained list and that it implies validity. And we just have to understand that. I think what we're talking about, I think what you said makes perfect sense. I think that's the way we ought to go. I just don't want us to think that because we are not saying anything bad, you know, although that lends credence to someone arguing that they're valid if it doesn't say, people are going to misconstrue this regardless of what we do. We just have to be clear about what we're maintaining and why. And people will misconstrue it anyway, intentionally.
You are so right.
Leaving the meeting.
Gary Hamilton, Stanford University.
So it's clear as mud, right? Well, folks, I didn't want to stop the I'm sorry?
I just said pretty much, yes, yeah, that's it.
I think this is a fabulous conversation, and I think I don't want to stop it, but we are coming up on the hour. And I think in 2 weeks we should continue the discussion because, you know, if there's a, you know, potential proposal on the table to just list the diploma mills, you know, we're stuck with where everybody else is, and we have to make the best decision that we think we can and know that we might revisit it in the future. So, I want to thank everybody for a really thoughtful and provocative conversation. And it's not the end. As we said, as we used to say in financial aid, no horse is too dead to beat.
I've never heard that.
We'll
We've
continue
proved
to
this so many times on this subject.
Right. Well, for folks that want to know, you know, the long story is, you know, PEF started this work group 10, 12 years ago, but it was to study it and to see how feasible a single institution code could be. And we wrote a white paper, but we never attempted to, you know, do a geocode, a unique ID. So, you know, PESC is not, and all of you are dealing with, have been dealing with this, you know, market, you know, for 30, 35 years, and Rick, you know, 30 years as registrar, you're all dealing with this. So, we're not going to have the answer. We need to have the best answer for geocode. So let's continue,
Michael,
the conversation. Yep.
One quick addition. I just want to thank you for making me 15 years younger than I actually am. Because I've been in this business for 45, not 30. So I feel better already.
Usually I put my hands in front of my mouth, Rick, and say, every year, it's, you know.
Leaving the meeting.
You'll always be a spring chicken. You'll always be a spring chicken to me, Rick. And Jim, I know documentation was one of the final things, and we're coming upon the hour. Is there anything quickly you want to say, and I could follow up with folks with email?
No, I think we just added to the agenda for next. The one pressing bit of documentation, it relates to the import specification, and I'm working on that. So
okay.
we'll talk about it more later.
Okay, and you, Matt, and I can huddle too. And so with that, if folks have questions, you know, we have, you know, 30 seconds, a minute for questions if anybody has anything burning.
Hey, comment, Michael, it's Brian. I just wanted to wish the group all the best and thank you for letting me participate on an ongoing basis. It's been great working with you all.
It's been wonderful working with you, Brian. Thank you.
Thank you, Brian, and I told you.
This is Victor. I appreciated the opportunity to really learn what you're doing, and really it provided me a different perspective of what geocoding really means. I was looking more from the geographic perspective, but
yep.
Now I have a better understanding. Thank you.
Thank you, Victor. And so, you know, Victor, you know, most of what PESC does is free and open for everybody. And the members that, you know, pony up some dues, help pay the bills. But, you know, PESC operates on things being mostly free and open, and that's why geocode is free and open. And we know many other code directories charge exorbitant fees, and part of PESC's mission is to establish interoperability and break down some of those barriers, especially the financial ones. So thank you all. So, folks, join us in 2 weeks again. The conversation continues. I'll have a recording posted. We'll send emails. If you want to be added to the listserv, send me an email. Fahim, I saw you already sent me something through the list, through the PESC website, so I'll add you in. And join us in 2 weeks. And thank you all, and have a wonderful weekend.
Bye-bye.
Thank you, Michael.
Okay, thank you.
Leaving the meeting.
Bye now.
Bye now.
Thank you.
Bye.
Leaving the meeting.
Victor Mora.
Leaving the meeting.
Fahim Kazini.
Leaving the meeting.
Jim Kelly.
Leaving the meeting.
Ian McKinnon.
Leaving the meeting.
Emily Rostocks, OCAD University.
Leaving the meeting.
Margaret.
Leaving the meeting.
Mike Sessa with PESC.
Leaving the meeting.
Lois and Brian.